Now, their music is internationally known, but the name you're familiar with, that almost didn't happen.
We have to change the name from Cool in the Flame to Cool in the Game.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
More than 50 years of music, and not just for us old heads.
We're also the most sampled band in hip-hop. Questlove told me, he said, you have been sampled 1,800 times. I said, what?
More than 25 top hits, 30 gold and platinum albums, Kool & the Gang's Robert Cool Bell now.
On the Pulse, they get down.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. Every week, excited to talk about people who are doing cool things, legends in the field, and that's how I will describe the person that I'm speaking to today. 25 plus top 10s, 30 plus gold and platinum albums. Everybody's familiar with Kool & the Gang. We've got the founder, Robert Cool Bell. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just great, Bill. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much. You got like a quarter of the platinum albums right there behind you. Just a little something.
Yeah, some of my trophies, man. After 60 years in this business, I started back as the Jazzy Acts in 1964, then changed into the Soul Town Band, and to Kool & the Flame, and having a problem with the Godfather, Mr. James Brown. So we have to change the name from Kool & the Flame to Kool & the Game. And then 1969, single, album, record, everything was Kool & the Game.
That's amazing. What happened with the Godfather? They didn't like Kool & the Flames?
Well, we didn't want to use, you know, Mr. Brown was. Man, cool using my name, Flames. Just call yourself Cool, man.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall of that conversation, because it sounds like that's exactly how it goes. Hey, man, what's up with that? Use your own name. So at that point, now, and obviously you're the kind of the namesake and the founder. Were you always cool, or did you get the nickname because of some of the musical talent?
Well, actually, I was born back in Youngstown, Ohio. When I came to Jersey City, I came up with the name Cool at that time. That's before the band started. That was in 1960. There was a guy that calls himself Cool. He spelled it with a C. And I decided to change mine to a K. He's an old country boy trying to fit in the neighborhood, surrounded by New York and Newark. So you know what that was.
So the name was well before kind of the music and the group and the band. It just happened to fit with what your life would then become.
Absolutely.
How did you? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, cool is cool. Right? Not knowing that it's going to be Cool in the Game, you know, it fit right in at the time.
How did you get started? So I was reading in Jersey, bunch of talented people just kind of organically came together. How'd that happen?
Well, like I said, we started as a Jazzy Act. We used to work in this little theater. They called it the Ark. It was a part of a church. And people at that time, McCoy Tyner, you know, Farrell Sanders, they all used to come through there. And that's when we started as a Jazzy Act. Then we got involved with an organization called itself the Soul Town Review. Now, the Soul Town Review was trying to be like the Motown Review. So we became the Soul Town Band. And we had to learn all these Motown songs. So we were backing up maybe 7 to 8 artists twice a month. And then we moved on to Kool & the Flames. And again, we played James Brown songs and, you know, a little Sly. And that's what we moved on to become Kool & the Flames, and then went on to Kool & the Gang.
I have a question. So you're the founder of the band. You came together. Back in the day, I remember I'm coming up acting like I could sing, you know, singing a little too hot, like whatever, get down on it, any of that kind of stuff. But you play the bass, talented bass player. How'd you get to be the namesake?
Well, usually, you know, the bass player is usually in back there with the drummer, you know? But again, I think it was because of how, we needed to come up with a name. And that's when we decided to go with Kool and the Gang. And we didn't, like I said earlier, we didn't want to have any problems with the Godfather, so we came up with Kool and the Gang. So that put me as the leader of the group, the lead name. Of course, as the time went on, later on down the line, we had J.T. Taylor, and that's when we cut, Ladies Night and all the stuff of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody thinks the lead singer is the leader, but I was the man in the background, being cool.
So why they name it Bad after you? Because I was the guy being cool. Like, it makes perfect sense when you think about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Why people ask silly questions. When you go through this process, and you said 60 years now, I read someplace that you were remain the longest continuous performing group in history. Like, what does that feel like?
Well, that feels great. I mean, we're also the most sampled band in hip hop, which makes us the most sampled band in the world, because all sampling, 90% of it came from hip hop. So that's a great thing too. We didn't know that we was gonna be that. Coming up in the 70s, we were more on the funk side, and we did little chants, little things, and little on the record, like Jungle Boogie, Open Sesame. We did the track for the Last Poets. Those four tracks, it was our tracks. So we were more of an instrumental group. It wasn't until we're out on tour with the Jackson. At that time, it was the Jackson 5.
Mm-hmm.
And a gentleman by the name of Dick Griffey said, "Hey, you guys are doing well, on the tour." He said, "But I think you need a lead singer." So we said, "Oh." He said, "Yeah, I think you need a lead singer." So we thought about it. You had Lionel Richie, the Commodores, Earth, Wind & Fire, Philip Daly, Maurice White. And we said, "Well, maybe it's time to make a change." And over at the House of Music, where we started the album at, with Amir Dionello, the owner of the studio recommended James Taylor. So he came there, and my brother said, "Okay." My brother played some jazz progressions. He said, "Sing to this." Then he played a little funk. He said, "Sing to that." And then my brother said, "You got the right kind of voice that could maybe happen for us." And that's when we came up with Ladies Night. Now, Ladies Night, I was hanging out in New York, my wife and I. And we were, at Studio 54 and Regime's. Every weekend was a Ladies Night. So I came back to the guys. I said, "I got a great idea for, one of my songs." They said, "What?" I said, "Ladies Night." Then my brother said, "Wow, there's one of those all over the world." And that's how it started with JT, with Ladies Night.
So he had to audition to go ahead and get in with Kool and the Gang.
Oh, yeah, we had the right type of words. Frankie Crocker, he broke the record in New York, Ladies Night. And the rest is history with that. But also, Frankie Crocker, I guess I'm wearing my Hollywood shirt. Frankie Crocker broke Hollywood Swinger. You used to call him the Hollywood Swinger, Frankie Crocker.
There are so many, and you talked about the most sampled. I knew you were extremely sampled. I didn't realize you were the most sampled throughout. But then you start naming some of the songs, and I'm looking down the list. Everybody from Mace to Will Smith to Lil' Kim to Jade to DJ Kool, you continue on. Everybody has sampled your stuff. Has that kind of helped with the whole process of this 60 years of longevity? Because when you guys start playing songs, even if people may not be familiar with the original, they sit back and go, "Oh."
Oh, yeah. Questlove told me, he said, "Hey, you have been sampled 1,800 times." I said, "What? 1,800 times, Quest?" I said, "We should have somebody on sample patrol that many times." But we're talking about drum beats and guitar licks and horn licks and et cetera, et cetera.
So I'm gonna get in your pockets, and this is something that I generally don't do. But when you say you found out you sampled 1,800 times, is there ever a time when you go, well, wait a minute, then somebody should be sending me some money?
Yeah, so I was saying, she's had somebody else sample the trouble.
So do you then have to go back to try to get it? Do you have to fight for that? Do they recognize you and acknowledge you?
Well, you know, actually, we started to see income from that. Actually, I think it was the time President Biden was on the board to move to have that, if you sample, you have to pay. And made that movement to the record companies. So then the record companies were involved, and they'll go out if someone, you have to get clearance. If an artist wants to sample our music, they have to get clearance from the record company and from Warner Chappell, the publisher.
So then early on, that didn't have to happen. So people could just kind of take your stuff with freedom.
That's what they were doing.
Oh, man.
Back then.
What? That's not okay. Like, we had to do something about that.
Yeah, well, we kind of did that. Once we, you know, with the, that kind of, at that time, too, the Polygram Records, Phonogram Records, now Universal Records, Warner Chappell, they started going after that.
Wow.
It paid off. I mean, like Will Smith was Summertime.
Yeah.
With Summer Madness, he had to get the okay on that. That became a number one record, a platinum record. And then he went on to be a movie star, like Hollywood swinging, you know?
With all of this success, and you can, I mean, it is tough to appropriately acknowledge all the success in multiple Hall of Fames, Performers Hall of Fames, Songwriters Hall of Fames. Your songs are in the National Recording Registry. Artifacts are in the Grammy Museum and the Smithsonian. Like it's hard to acknowledge everything. But at what point did you guys kind of say, wow, we're really on to something? Like this is a big deal. And it just stopped being, or maybe it never stopped, we're performing and having fun, and it is, wow, we're making an impact on history.
Yeah, I mean, all those different accolades that we have received, we still are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Really?
Really, yes. And we don't know what that problem is. I don't know. We've been in just about everything that you said. Even the celebrations played on the space station when the astronauts got up. I mean, so different, so many celebrations and with Ladies' Night. And I remember we got recognition when, I think it was during the Olympics, so I'm not sure when the ladies won. No, the soccer team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The World Cup team.
Excuse me?
The World Cup team.
World Cup, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
I feel like anybody who has won anything over the last 30, 40 years, like you just expect to hear celebration.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right, we got to do something. Let us know where the petition is or whatever so we can rally people to get you guys in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That is absolutely supposed to happen.
Now we're on the way to Vegas, not to cut you off there. We have a residency at Westgate, and now you got the Super Bowl. You know, all roads are leading to Vegas. And whoever wins, I hope they're going to have a nice cold glass of my champagne called the Cool Champagne.
I was going there, so that is a smooth, that's a smooth transition. But with all that level of success, now starting this residency in Vegas, and it's one of those things where only a handful of kind of the top folks can do these residencies in Vegas. Are you excited about this? What are people going to see? How did this come to happen?
Well, yes, we're very excited about the residency. We've been going in and out of Vegas for almost 20 years or more. We had a contract with Caesars. We had played a lot of corporate stuff. So, you know, Vegas has been very good to us. But now with a residency and with the fact that Westgate was the home of Elvis Presley, when it was Hilton, you know. So it's a great place to be. You know, Caesars was great too. You know, we enjoyed ourselves in Caesars when we were there. But we had Caesars Atlantic City, Caesars Vegas, and Caesars Lake Tahoe. We were on all three of the Caesars.
So to do 60 years, to do a residency in Vegas, you have to still love this, right? I mean, performing is not, I'd imagine, I can't sing and don't play any instruments, but I would imagine that performing like that is not easy. Like, you have to have a passion for that still.
Yes, we do. You know, I love what I'm doing here. The fact that we did get a little break, not a wanted break, but 2 years of COVID, we didn't perform at all. But my partner here, Tony, was handling the engineering here, we were zooming around the world. So we were still talking, but we just wasn't out there on the road. So when we finally went out, we played Europe. We did 18 shows, you know, 20 shows. And we played all through Europe. And we played places that was like little Woodstock, you know, 30,000 people, some 10,000 people, 20,000 people. And so they were so happy to see us after COVID. And George Brown, who is one of the founding members, who I lost. You know, I lost my brother, I lost DT, I lost George Brown. I'm like the last man standing from the original members of Cougar the Gang. His album's called that, came, his album was titled People Just Want to Have Fun. And people are having fun because they're out there again. They get a chance after COVID, and they're seeing us, and we see it, you know, and people do want to have fun. Now, the album before that, that my brother came up with before he passed, you know, it was called Perfect Union. And it was, we had a song on there called The Pursuit of Happiness. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, when Biden was running president, when he was nominated, they played Celebration. Of course, when he won, they played Celebration. But he started talking about The Pursuit of Happiness. So my brother was like, oh, okay, tied into that whole Celebration thing and the whole Perfect Union, okay, it all kind of worked together.
You're just getting paid. let's tie it into whatever, you know. I'm surprised y'all didn't write "Yes, we can." Whatever, we figured out. Continue on.
Well, we do get down on it. Yes, you can get down on it.
See,
you can do it.
There you go. It continues. So the tour continues. You're actually coming to our area, Atlantic City, the Ocean Casino, February 17th. People are very familiar with your music, but there have been kind of like an evolution over time, different members coming in and out. So when we see Kool & the Gang perform now, what are we going to see?
Well, actually, we put a production together that we opened up with and our last time we were in Vegas back in October. So you're going to see a full production of Kool & the Gang. Sort of like what some of the other groups are doing in Vegas. We're bringing that to Atlantic City and at the casino, the Ocean Casino. We feel very good about that. I mean, because we played Ocean Casino, we played the Hard Rock, and we played Borgata. And we played Caesars also when we had the Caesars contract, you know. So I'm looking forward to it, you know. I'm trying to think of it. There's a club there we played many years ago. Wow, I can't think of the name of the club. It was we had to do 5 shows. You started at 8 o'clock, and the last show was like 7 in the morning, the breakfast show. And people had eaten their grits and eggs, man. We still out there.
You're not still in the club after your shows in Atlantic City. You're not still doing that. You're not hitting the after hour spots after the show.
No. I'll let the young boy do that.
Yeah, right?
What I am doing, I'll have a nice cold glass of cool champagne with
them. So tell us about that, all right? Because I read about that. I see there's a sign in the background about the champagne. So very clearly, we've talked about you guys are, you know, you're about the money and the hustle and the continued success. How'd you come up with Cool Champagne?
Before I go there, I just got the name of the club, the Wonder Garden. I go way back. I don't know if anybody knows the Wonder Garden.
I don't know. I feel like I know. I feel like I've heard all of these stories, because I don't know if this name will mean anything to you, but as a young person, I used to produce and answer the phones for a guy named Georgie Woods, who was...
Georgie, Frankie Crocker, all those guys. Georgie Woods definitely support us.
Yes, Georgie was like a kind of godfather person, and he taught me the industry. And so all of these types of stories... I remember. So I was never there. I was a kid, but I remember hearing all these types of stories.
Well, let me go back to the Cool Champagne.
Cool Champagne.
Touring, I must have been about maybe 10 years ago. We had a tour, and we had close to 15 sold-out shows in France. So the promoter came to me. He said, listen, I'm doing something with the late Barry White look-alike. And the BGs, I'm doing the champagne. And so, would you guys like to, you know, sell your champagne on this 15-day tour in France? I said, well, I don't think my fans want to get a bottle of champagne after a concert. They're going to want T-shirts, caps, autographs. But I said, I would like to get on the shelves. And he looked at me, you want to get on the what? He said, yeah, I want to get on the shelves. Like Dom Perignon.
That's right.
Dom Renard, you know? He said, well, okay. We only came up with the name Le Cool Champagne. I wanted to have that French vibe to it, like it's coming out of France. And I ended up cutting a deal with the Bertolo family up in Ypenay. Yeah, where, you know, all those champagnes are at, because you can't still use them. You have champagne without going to France. They control the name. And then that's how it all started to come together. Started putting it together. And we finally brought it to America, like Eddie Murphy coming to America. So it was cool coming to America.
You decided to make it French by calling it Le Cool.
Yeah, Le Cool. And it's working, because listen, the fact that all the different celebrations around the world, they're drinking Dom Perignon, Cristal, the major boy. So why not? But when they were drinking it, what song did they play?
It makes perfect sense.
Celebrate good time, come on.
It makes sense. Drink Le Cool while you're having your celebration.
That's it. Yeah. I got another for you, too.
What's that?
When it gets too hot, have you a nice cold glass of Cool Champagne.
the hustle is real. Much respect. We want everybody to check them out February 17th, but also the residency. You guys are pretty much always on tour, so people need to follow you, get on your website, do all those things to find out where you are both before and after your shows in Atlantic City.
Oh yeah, Atlantic City, like I said, we go back from the Weather Gardens. You know, like we said, we had, you know, we were had a residency at the time with Caesars, which was in Atlantic City, you know, Vegas and Lake Tahoe. The Hard Rock's been great. And I'm an old Jersey boy. We love that. I love Atlantic City. We love Atlantic City.
Well, we appreciate it. It is an honor. We will continue to follow your career. We end every episode of The Pulse with this concept of use your voice for good. We want to inspire people. We want to know what that type of thing means to our guests. So when you hear the phrase, use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
I mean, that you're getting down on something. Use your voice for good. Do what you do. Be what you want to be. Never give up. Keep on striving.
I like it. I appreciate you, sir. Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Pulse Podcast today with Robert Cool Bell of the legendary group Cool and the Gang. So many great stories, his energy, his entrepreneurial spirit. This was actually a pleasure for me. and I hope it was for you as well. Do me a favor, hit follow, subscribe, like, whatever it is you have to do to get a notification every time the podcast comes out so you don't miss great episodes like this. You can also see all of our past episodes on YouTube and now on connected TV, Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, Android TV, you name it. If it's a connected or smart TV, you can see all the episodes right there at your fingertips. This was fun. I hope you enjoyed it. You can always reach out to me on social at BillAFox29. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can to use your voice for good and have a good one.